This morning we again return to the Lord's model prayer, which, as we have seen in past studies, is a skeleton outline of the elements that are in an ideal prayer. And the structure is very simple and specific. The ideal prayer begins with the foundational realization that God is our dearest Father, that we can regard Him and relate to Him in a father-daughter manner or a father-son manner, and that this is foundational to all Christian prayer. That it was revolutionary in its day and is revolutionary today to be able to address the God of the universe not as some stoic, distant God, but as dearest Father. That is Christian, that is foundational to all true prayer. And that out of the foundation then come six petitions. The first three are upward and can be identified by the word thy, as they all three focus on God's glory. And then there are three that follow, which are more horizontal and are identified by the word us in them. So that in the ideal prayer, you have the foundational realization that God is dearest Father. We can actually address Him that way, that we are enjoined to do so. And out of that, our hearts first flow upward in praying for His glory, and then pray for our needs and man's needs around us. This is the ideal prayer. And in the past weeks, we have considered first the foundation, and then we've considered the first two petitions. Hallowed be thy name. That is, God, let your name be set apart as holy as Father. May the world see it through my life, the way I live, and at the end of history. And then, God, may thy kingdom come. That is, at the end of history, may everyone bow and acknowledge you are King of kings and Lord of lords, as they will inevitably do. But also, God, may your kingdom be worked out in society and in my life. And this morning, we come to the third and final of the upward petitions, which is, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And let me say right at the onset, with this petition, we come to what I think is the most abused of all of the petitions. As we said at past times, the Lord's Prayer is often abused when it's prayed because it is repeated mindlessly. How many times did that happen today? I don't know. A million times? Very possibly. What I've been able to see over the years, Hollywood thinks that the Lord's Prayer is the perfect conclusion to a war movie. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You've had the terrible ten, or whatever you want to call them, been out ravaging the land, killing everyone in sight with great joy and cohabiting with the local girls. And the only time God has ever been on their lips is in a curse. But the enemy surrounded them, their ammo's run out, and they decide they need to do something religious. And so they began, "Our Father who art in heaven." And the idea is that deep down inside, they're really good guys anyway. And so the Lord's Prayer is one of the most abused sections in all of Scripture. Not only is it abused by mindless repetition and exploitation, but this particular phrase in this prayer is subject to probably more abuse than all the rest of them, because people pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," when they have no resolve at all and never have had any resolve to do God's will. I mean, these words, Think of the words, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Martin Luther, in reflecting upon these words, said, "It is a fearful prayer." And that if people really knew what they were praying, when they prayed this, if their hearts weren't right, they would choke on the words. It is of the utmost importance that we pray this prayer with our mind, not in repetition, and with all of our hearts. So it is important, it is so important that we understand what this final upward petition is in the model outline for how we ought to pray. It is also important because we have a hard time giving our wills to God. That's one of our greatest needs. There's no one here that finds that easy to do. We'll give our will to God wisely and humbly in the past, and then we'll unwisely take it back. That's the way it is. And I think some here have a harder time than others with this matter of the will. When you were a child, you had a strong will. And no one ever got to bend your will. And it's been many years, and still no one has been able to bend your will. And here you are, a believer, and you want to have your will conform to God's will, and it is a difficult thing to do. Let me say that if your will is conformed to God's will, it'll even be stronger. But it is difficult for all of us to have our wills devoted to God. And Jesus' words are for all of us here. He tells us that when we pray, that in the substance of our prayers, there ought to be a time and an underlying commitment of our wills to God in the ideal prayer. And that, in a sense, and as we'll see, when we do not pray this way, we're really not, in effect, praying as we should. Do I truly pray this way? Only God knows. Do you? Only God knows. As a congregation, God is the only one who knows. And I think there's not a person here who won't benefit from interacting with his phrase, his recommendation for prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." What we want to do as we begin is ask, what is it that Jesus is asking us to pray for when he says, "Thy will be done"? What does he mean? And I think the general thing, and we'll just touch on this for a moment, is that he prays for the world's obedience. First of all, he prays for the universal obedience that'll come at the end of history. There is going to come a time when there will be no necessity for the guidelines laid down in the Sermon on the Mount about divorce and retaliation and hate and hypocrisy, because there will be no divorce. There will be no hatred. There will be no hypocrisy at those times. Everything will be bent to God's will. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven" focuses on this inevitable time that's coming and causes us to lift our sights up. It's good that we pray this prayer. It's good that we realize there is a time when there will be nothing but God's will. And so we pray that surely. But when we pray, "Thy will be done," we also pray that it will be done here in history. That doesn't seem possible from history as we've seen it, but if we don't think it's possible, we need to realize it is possible because the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated it to be so. So in the fourth chapter of John, verse 34, he says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me." That's quite a statement. He didn't say "my dessert." He said, "my food." When I get hungry, the thing that I long for, my eyes long for, my body longs for, I long for inside, my food is to do his will. Later in the Gospel of John, he says in chapter 5, verse 30, I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. It was his food. And when he came to the garden of Gethsemane, and he was covered with bloody sweat, we hear these words, Abba, Father, dearest Father, all things are possible for thee. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what thou wilt. And so every earthly heartbeat of the Lord Jesus was given to the will of God. It was possible. And it is possible, despite our weaknesses, to live a life that is characterized by obedience to his will. It is possible to do that. We are to pray that this will happen so that his will be seen, even his ethical will of righteousness in life, at least where the church of Jesus Christ resides. And so the prayer is a massive prayer because it includes history and post-history. And it is a strident prayer. It is stridently upward. This may sound funny to say when we are used to saying the Lord's Prayer or repeating the Lord's Prayer, that it's stridently upward. But it is that. It is thy will and no other will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Moreover, it is in the imperative. Let your will be done. So there is kind of a humble stridency in the whole thing, to pray that prayer with passion. That's what the language would allow, and I think that's what even the language would invite, is to have that as a passionate part of our prayer life, to be caught up in the big picture, God's will. And if we desire this, which I think we do, then we anticipate what else it means. Because when we pray, thy will be done, we are praying also that his will be done individually in our life. I cannot pray it any other way. Thy will be done in me, in earth, as it is in heaven. And in a sense, I think that is a terrifying prayer. Because what it invites is God's gracious violence into our life to root out everything that is not in conformity to his will. And so we can be terrified as we pray that prayer. Nevertheless, it is the way to pray. And I believe it can truly be said that no prayer is really a prayer that does not contain this, at least in an implicit way. For instance, the two preceding petitions, hallowed be thy name, doesn't make any sense at all if you cannot say thy will be done. Thy kingdom come is just empty rhetoric without thy will be done. And so thy will be done is fundamental to prayer. The question is, can we truly pray it, thy will be done? And if we do pray it, how is it that we are to pray it? And I'd like you to notice the next line where it says, as it is in heaven. Really ought to underline that line, because that's what brings life and understanding to all of this, as it is in heaven. God asks that when we do his will, we do it as it is being done today in heaven. Now, how's it done in heaven? I think a good way to illustrate this is with the tone with which the will is done, the tone of voice. For instance, it is very possible to say, thy will be done, with a tone of bitter resentment. We've all heard of Julian the Apostate. He was the one who came after Constantine of the Roman Empire and tried to return them to paganism. And how he finally was dying on a battlefield in the east and his blood was flowing out. and Constantine cupped his hand and cupped his blood and then threw his blood into the air and said, "You have conquered, O man of Galilee." You can say, "Thy will be done," with clenched and bitter teeth. How many times is it said that way? Or it can be said in a tone, which is not a heavenly tone either, a tone of resignation. God, I wanted things to go my way. I tried to get them to go my way, but your overriding will took over and it conquered, and at least help me not to be grouchy. Thy will be done anyway, God. But at the same time, it's also possible to do His will with cheerful buoyancy. We know that that's the way it is in heaven. He says, as it is in heaven. We know that it's that way. That the angels and the glorified saints, I mean, they rejoice to do His will. I think maybe they even wrestle each other for the privilege. They hear about His will, and who's going to get it? Maybe Peter wrestles Paul. He'd always have the advantage if he was in his earthly body. I think if the vignettes from the book of Revelation tell us anything, they tell us that His will is done with song. As it is in heaven. Suppose we were to take one of the saints that has left us from College Church here and they were to materialize in the office this week. Let's say Evan Welsh, let's say that would happen. He's been there. Well, he always wanted to do God's will when he's here, but if he came back and he knew what God's will was, how do you think he'd be about doing God's will? He'd bring a heavenly perspective to the pursuit of God's will. And so when we pray this prayer, we pray for a profound obedience that God would conquer our lives in such a way that we would not only do His will, but we would do it like it is in heaven. If we're doing His will right, then it's with the tone of heaven. Now, I think we all want to attain this. And the question is, how? And I'd like to suggest some things to keep in mind if we want to grow in obedience to His will. And the first is this, that the word Father, our Father, dominates the whole prayer. And when we say, "Thy will," we are saying, the will of the Father, our dear Father, the Abba Father. That you and I are asked to do the will of our Father, who we understand His love through the cross. And I think that ought to be the greatest of encouragements. My Father love, that's my own love for my children, imperfect as it is, and they know how imperfect it is, has as its goal that they be secure and happy and prosperous. I think that all healthy fathers dream and even scheme about what is best for their children. But if you're a healthy father, that is an overriding preoccupation of your life. And it is in my life. When I go out with my wife on Monday morning for our Monday morning day off after Sunday breakfast, the first thing that we talk about is our children. And sometimes our conversation doesn't even get beyond our children because they are the preoccupation of our lives. We discuss each one. We discuss which one's had a good week, which one's had a bad week. We even make lists of how to pray and lists of things to do. And I can tell you this, that the mental focus of a caring father is a terrific thing. It really doesn't. I could have had the best weekend here. I could have preached the best I've ever preached. And if one of my children is going through a hard time, then I become heavy. It doesn't make any difference how well other things are going. Now that is a fallible, failing, earthly father. But if you focus this back onto the text to the perfect Father, who says, when we say, thy will be done, we're talking about a perfect Father who loves us with an unfathomable love and cares for us and schemes for us, if you will, and enters into our sorrows and into our joys. It is His will. When you think about doing His will, it cannot be anything but good, and to go against His will is to go against love. Keep that in mind if we want to do His will. I think the other thing we need to realize if we want to do His will is this, that in order to do His will, we have to know His will. And the repository, the greatest repository of His will, are the Scriptures, which we, in our tradition, hold up as the infallible rule of life and practice. And that when we pray this prayer, thy will be done, it is a commitment then to know His will and to know the Scriptures. That's just a little aside. Because the other great thing to keep in mind is this, is that when we do His will, we know our greatest joy. That's true. When we do His will, brothers and sisters, it is our greatest joy and glory. Elizabeth Elliot once stayed in the farmhouse of a Welsh shepherd high in the hills of Wales, the mountains of Wales. And it was on a misty Saturday morning that she stepped outside and she watched the shepherd on his horse, shepherding his sheep with the aid of his champion collie, who was Scottish collie by the name of Mac. In her own words, this is what she said. Mac was in his glory. He came of a long line of working dogs, and he had sheep in his blood. This was what he was made for. This is what he had been trained to do. It was a marvelous thing to see him circling to the right, circling to the left, barking, crouching, racing along, herding a stray sheep here, nipping at a stubborn sheep there, his eyes always glued to the sheep, his ears listening for the tiny metal whistle from his master, which I couldn't hear. And she tells it, on that day, Mac was really in his glory. They were dipping the sheep, and so he was outside of the bin where the sheep were being dipped, and when they'd come up and try to get out, he'd nip at them and snap and do everything he thought would please his master to keep those sheep in there. That he was perfect. That he was almost as good as a shepherd. And amazed at the whole thing, the author asked the shepherd's wife, she said, do the sheep have any idea what's going on? And she said, not a clue. Well, what about Mac? And she said she received this memorable answer, that is, the dog doesn't understand the pattern, only obedience. And then she reflected, I saw two creatures who were in the fullest sense in their glory. A man who had given his life to sheep, who loved them and loved his dog, and a dog whose trust in that man was absolute, whose obedience was instant and unconditional, and whose very meat and drink was to do the will of his master. I delight to do thy will, was what Max said. Yea, thy law is within my heart. To experience the glory of God's will for us means absolute trust. It means the will to do his will. It means joy. And she is so right. We are never in greater glory, so to speak, than when we are in profound obedience to God. That is the height of our glory. That is what we're made for and bred for. And the beautiful thing is that we're not like that dog. We know something of the pattern. We know something of the master. We know that it is the Creator who set the stars in their courses and the shudder on the lizard's eye. We know that the measure of His love are the hands of the Lord Jesus that created the universe and then allowed those hands to be nailed on the tree. We know that. And that our greatest glory is to profoundly pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He is only what he ought to be, whose will is bound to God's. Glory to God. Brothers and sisters, to glibly parrot the prayer does nothing. But to pray it sincerely as an outline to prayer has revolutionary implications in our lives. When we can truly pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we pray for the world's obedience. We pray for the final time when every knee shall bow. We pray for obedience in this life and the glory of the church in working out the will of God in this life. And we pray for individual obedience of our hearts. Thy will be done means nothing less than God conquer me. In earth, as it is in heaven, means that we're to do it with an attitude of joyous buoyancy. And we want to do it. If you want to do it this morning, then remember this. God is your dearest Father. And then remember this. In His will is the greatest glory and joy. Why not pray it? If you've never prayed it, just mouth these words before. Why not pray it with all of your heart? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There are really only two options. One is to fall in line with the will of God and say, Thy will be done. The other is to follow the course of the world and say, My will be done. There is no in between. Pray then in this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. And we would add, our dear Lord, that we invite Your gracious violence in our lives to bring us into glorious obedience to You, to be all that we should be to Your glory. In Jesus' name, Amen.